Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and now we start off this hour from across the pond. And this time it's not just in the UK, because Roz is our correspondent for the UK. But this time she actually went, well, she's headed down under. But on her way down under, she's in New Zealand, the land of the Lord of the Rings. And Roz is connected to us via Skype, and we have her on Scuba Radio right now. Roz, how are you?
Okay. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning. Exactly. She's actually in the future, because in New Zealand, where she is right now, it's tomorrow. So I don't know. What's the weather like first, I guess? Or what should we expect to get here tomorrow?
Oh, here it's absolutely glorious. It's very sunny. The sun's just come up and it's got that kind of special light in the sky. We're coming into autumn here down in Auckland. The trees are still green, but it's cooling off. But for me, I'm finding it absolutely beautifully warm because I'm in shorts and a t-shirt going, gosh, it's quite hot here. And everybody else is going, no jumper time. They're getting cold.
So. All right. They're cold. You're thinking this is like summertime. And you're saying, point me to a hobbit. I want to have a cocktail and kick back and relax in New Zealand, right?
Haven't seen any hobbits yet, but
none?
I did get greeted by one of those magnificent statues to do with Middle Earth at Auckland Airport.
Well, there you go.
It's just amazing.
Well, you'll have to pick up a ring at the gift shop in the airport. That's pretty much what you do in New Zealand.
Right. I didn't know you cared that much.
Of course. No, I've actually been through New Zealand at the airport on my way to Fiji. I went through Auckland. And looked out the window, and I was like, wow, that looks like a pretty cool place. Look at all those mountains and the greenery and stuff. I mean, just like the movie from The Lord of the Rings, you see that right there from the airport even. But you're out and amongst the folks there in New Zealand. It's definitely on my list of places to go. Now, are you going to do any diving while you're there in Auckland, or are you just preparing for Oztec, which is happening this next weekend in Australia?
Haven't had time to go diving, unfortunately, which is a shame because the last time I was here, I talked to you about diving in Poor Nights, and that was absolutely stunning diving. It's about 20 degree centigrade water. So that's, what, 60 degree Fahrenheit?
Okay, I'll go with that, which is cold for me.
Yeah. It's stunning diving, Greg. It's really beautiful. They've got some really quite large stingrays. And the dive that we did over there, it was quite a stony bottom with a kelp forest, which was about a meter tall.
Huh.
And you look down, it looks as though there were lots of Starship Enterprises down, you know, hiding in a field waiting for the Klingons to come out.
Okay.
These stingrays.
All right, let me talk non-Trekkie to everyone. I believe you're talking about starfish. Am I right when you say that?
No, stingrays.
No, but you said the Starship Enterprise. Oh, you're talking about the star.
Yes.
Okay.
The
now,
stingrays look like the saucer section of the
right.
Starship.
Right. Okay.
The
and
Enterprise.
What the tribbles or the or sea urchins? What kind of language are we speaking here? We ought to stick to just Lord of the Rings or something. I don't know. But this dive site you're talking about, that's in Auckland in New Zealand or in Australia?
Yeah, it's about 3 hours north of Auckland.
Ah, okay.
And it was named after by Captain Cook named the area. Do you remember? Because it's an extinct volcano and the flowers that come out and the wet cliffs, it looked like a Poor Knight's pudding, which was kind of jam on a suet sponge pudding, bread pudding.
Okay.
So that's why it's called pool night. So no, not got the chance to go up there this time, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, but you've been there before. You've done a little diving, and you're at least enjoying the scenery and that kind of thing. And you're hanging out with your buddy, I believe, who's going to get a big award at Beneath the Sea. Is that right?
Yes, very excited. I'm over here meeting Simon Mitchell, Dr. Simon Mitchell, who's the head of anesthesiology at the University of Auckland. And it's just been announced that he is the Dan Rolex Diver of the Year, which is quite a special award. This award's been going for about 25 years, and it recognises dive safety. And Simon's prolific work has been acknowledged, which is fantastic. You know, he speaks at things like Eurotech and Rebreather Forum 3.
Yes.
And he's speaking this weekend at Austech. So it's pretty cool news.
Yeah, and Simon's really good. You know, I saw him at the Rebreather Forum in Miami a couple years ago, and he's one of those genius scientific diver guys that can take all the technical and physics type of diving stuff that's way above most divers' head and dumb it down for us to make us understand what the hell he's talking about or what all those numbers and theorems and all this kind of crap is supposed to mean to the common diver. Very, very good speaker in that regard. And it's good to hear that he's being recognized for that. Now, is he a little bummed, though, that it's the Rolex award that he's going to get, and he's going to get one of those Rolex awards when the new Apple Watches were just released? Is he like, oh, man, I wish it would have been an Apple Watch instead of a Rolex? But the Rolex is more prestigious, I guess, right?
if I had a choice, I would go with the Rolex every time, Chris.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, the Apple thing has to, they have to, I don't know, find out how they're going to hold their value. We know the Rolexes do well, so that's a good thing. And Rolex has actually been a great sponsor of that program to help recognize some diving scientific folks and the folks from Divers Alert Network to combine to do a great work and give people the accolades that they deserve. And so he's going to be speaking at Austech that's coming up, and that's what you're doing or preparing for, I guess, right?
Yes, that's right. He's giving two talks at Austech, and he's doing the talks that he did at Eurotech. He unveiled two new pieces of research last year. One was about pre-breathe, and it was to find out whether divers can actually recognise elevated carbon dioxide levels in a scrubber or not. And the results were that the people who were doing the trials ended up panting like dogs and actually not realising that. Hmm. So Simon has said, actually it was a joint thing with him and Dr. Neil Pollock. Right. So Simon and Neil have both said that a pre-breathe isn't a way of recognising elevated carbon dioxide, but you should still do a pre-breathe because there's lots of divers going, hey, we don't have to do a pre-breathe anymore. Well, actually you do, because you want to check that your O2 sensors are working and they will hold a set point properly. So a pre-breathe is still important.
Well, it's like test diving your unit to make sure all the bells and whistles are working the way they're supposed to, right? At the bare minimum.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Simon's busy talking about that. I mean, he's talking about the second piece of research that they did, which is that some divers, these are expedition divers, they find that their CNS clock goes, 200% plus on very long decompression dives. And they're concerned whether they're going to take a toxicity hit on decompression. Mm. And so Simon did this big study out in Bikini. I mean, it's a tough job, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Well, he had to go out to Bikini and he did samples by mouth. So as soon as these divers came out of the water, they took out their rebreather mouthpiece and he put a piece of equipment straight into their mouth so that he could go and check their end-tidal CO2, but he could check how much gas levels there were in their breaths and then analysed it and has worked out that there is not much chance of the people taking a tox on a line, which has reassured divers immensely, knowing that this research has been done.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all about making them safer and aware of what's going on with the systems and how it's affecting them personally, so they can do it more effectively and once again safer, right? That's what he does. Yes. That's his whole goal, is just to, you know, learn more about what's going on with the rebreathers in particular. And there's a lot of technical stuff that goes into that. And he's on the leading edge of doing that research. It's good to hear that he's being recognized. Now, let's talk a little bit about Oztech itself. Now, this is another... Is this going to be like a rebreather technical diving forum and just a huge, huge event in Australia, or what?
It happens every 2 years, and I think it's now 10 years old. It might be a little bit older than that. Mm-hmm. And it happens every 2 years. It's held in the Technology Park in Sydney. And I think you'd like this building, Greg. It used to be an old engineering workshop. And you turn up at this place, and it's kind of Victorian built. There's railway lines going into the building. And you look down once you're in the conference centre, and you've got railway lines, and it's carpeted in between, which is slightly bizarre.
Okay, well, hold on, Roz. Hold on. We got to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more about Oztech and more. So far, it sounds like the ride from Harry Potter or something. I don't know.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Kevin Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
All right, everyone. Step lively. Look sharp. It's almost showtime. I'll give you a final room tone check, please, and check your marks.
We'd like to ask now that all passengers please hold your breath. We take you through an underwater hip-hop extravaganza.
Underwater rhymes.
We're now descending.
Underwater rhymes.
We're 200 fathoms and dropping.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I got Roz on via Skype. She is in Auckland, New Zealand, preparing to go to Oztech in Australia, which is a conference of technical rebreather divers. Happens every other year. This is the year for it. And she's there with bells on, fins, flippers, whatever it takes, maybe even a rebreather, covering the event for Scuba Radio and, well, her own enjoyment as well. So you're describing the building that this event happens in Australia. And it's just kind of, it has some strange, I don't know, railways, like a train station. What are you saying exactly, Roz? What's unique about the building it's held in?
Well, it's an old engineering building, and you turn up my steam engines in various places, and if you look up in the ceiling, you can still see the remnants of the belt-driven machines, which is quite nice.
Interesting. Okay, so it has a unique
backdrop. It's old technology meeting new technology, because... Austech is an advanced and technical diving conference and event and show.
Yeah.
And it happens for 2 days. David Strike and Sue Crow put on a really good range of speakers from around the world. And we've got, you know, Eurotech favourites like Barry McGill talking about diving in Ireland, some of the wrecks off Donegal, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got Rich Lundgren giving an update on Mars the Magnificent. So it's all quite highly exciting that you've got all these leading divers flying into Sydney for this fantastic event.
Well, very good. Now, that last one you said, he's going to do what, Malnificent? Something about the movie with Angelina Jolie?
Richard Lundgren's talking about Mars the Magnificent. This is the 16th century warship that he took 20 years to find.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. They're
doing some fantastic filming on it, and I think it's going to come out on National Nat Geo or Discovery Channel soon.
Cool. So, now, when you get over to Austech, I mean, are you checking out some of the gear and stuff as well? Are they showcasing some of the rebreathers like they do at the other events when they're in the U.S.? And in Eurotech, it's the same kind of thing, right? Where all the manufacturers are out there.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We got Jim Standing's flying in from Fourth Element, and they're showing off their new Ocean Positive range. And you've got people like Lamar Hires coming in from Diverite as well. So you've got the big manufacturers coming in with some of their latest equipment. So that's handy.
Are they doing some demo stuff as well, or are they going to have a pool where people can try out some of the stuff, or is that not really part of this type of event?
It's not really part of this.
Too cold.
You can come and talk, and you can come and, you know, check out equipment and try it on and stuff, but the opportunity of getting wet with it doesn't happen at these kind of tech events.
Got it. So this is all about getting more information about the equipment and maybe hearing about some new studies and that kind of thing from some of the speakers and dive sites and stuff. I gotcha. What are you looking for yourself? What are you going to be doing there, Roz? Just out there mingling and networking or what?
I'm actually one of the masters of ceremonies, so I'm going to be one of the people in the rooms introducing the speakers and making sure they arrive on time and it runs to time and, you know, their computers work and that kind of thing.
Yeah, just what Roz
very
does.
Exciting stuff.
She's always in the middle of all this kind of stuff. So, you know, she's hobnobbing with all these technical divers. You're doing a lot of rebreather diving yourself right now, aren't you? Or in between these trips?
Not enough,
of course, but it's what your love is. You love playing with the rebreathers and going down there and doing some of this cool type of diving, right?
Yes, I do, Greg.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I get to see you next week, I think, don't I?
Well, we got 2 weeks for Beneath the Sea, and that's where Simon's going to get his award from Divers Alert Network, correct? They're going to announce it or present it at Beneath the Sea?
He gets it.
He gets his watch, right.
He gets his Rolex watch.
Yeah, they'll present it to him at the Beneath the Sea show at one of the events or something that night. I believe it's Friday or Saturday night they do that. But, we're going to be up at Beneath the Sea. I'm excited about it. This is going to be a great show. We're giving away a trip on a liveaboard trip, our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in October. We're giving away one of those. I have a bunch
of... Where are you going?
We're doing Turks and Caicos. It's not as exotic as New Zealand, but, you know, hey, it's Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures, and we have Catherine Castle from Dive Training Magazine is going to be on board with us, and, of course, we'll have the Scuba Cowboy and our mermaid.
She's a sweetie. She's a lovely lady. Great photographer.
Yeah. Did you know that Catherine is a hand model or was a former hand model before she got to be?
No.
Yeah, well, now you know. She was. She used to model hands. Well, all kinds of body parts. Like knee, you know, ankles, knees, elbows. It wasn't just hands. She did hair and that kind of thing. But she was a body part model before she got involved with Dive Training Magazine. So there you go. You already know she's a cool lady and fun to hang with. And she's part of the Diving Hall of Fame. Like, you're in that too, aren't you, Roz? Are you in the diving?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, that's just a matter of time. Roz will be in the Diving Hall of Fame. But yeah, Catherine's in that. She's going to be on the boat with us, hanging out and giving some seminars on how to get published in a dive magazine or get your underwater photos published in a magazine. So she's going to do that on Liveaboard. You ought to come on that trip with us, or you come to be BTS and maybe you'll win it. You think?
That would be, I don't think I'd be eligible, but that would be fantastic, because you've got hammerheads in Turks and Caicos, haven't you? And diving with hammerheads is just an ethereal experience.
It is
incredible.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a particular favorite critter you like to dive with, Roz? Is there something that, like, that's my favorite type of big animal encounter, or what?
I wouldn't say no to diving with a whole pile of hammerheads.
Hammerheads is your thing. Have you done that before or no?
Yeah, I have. I was lucky. I worked in Egypt for a couple of years, and we had a school of 42 schooling hammerheads off the back of Jackson Reef in the Straits of Tehran. And sometimes you get them, and sometimes you wouldn't.
Yeah,
but when you did, it was magic.
Now, when you, the Straits of Tehran, is that where you're talking Red Sea type stuff or what? I don't even know.
That's right.
Yes, okay.
It is. It's there's four big reefs out there.
Yeah.
And they were named by four British cartographers. Mm-hmm. So you've got Gordon, Thomas, Woodhouse and Jackson, and apparently it's where the Israelites went across the Red Sea. It's possible because you've got these big reef plates, but they drop very deep, so you get big upwellings, and so you get a lot of big pelagics there. So you get your whale sharks, you get your dolphins, you get your turtles,
and
you get your hammerheads,
and
your
mantis
and so on.
That is kind of a place where you folks in the UK go to quite a bit. It's very accessible and a very popular place to go, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's only 4-hour flight for us.
Yeah,
basically our Caribbean.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's like us flying down to Grenada or Dominica or something like that. Joy Oztek will expect a full report at BTS, worst case scenario, here in a couple weeks, Roz, okay?
I look forward to seeing you there. Take care, Greg.
You got it. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We go from New Zealand down to South Florida to check in on the Florida spiny lobster, because lobster season in Florida is about to come to a close here at the end of March. And, you know, I haven't really had an opportunity to snag as many lobsters as I'd like this year. Well, that's pretty much the goes for every year, because I just never get the opportunity to dive as much as I would like to for those tasty little critters. However, I felt it was appropriate, especially at this time when you have a couple weeks left to take advantage of the season, to check in with my lobster catcher in the know, kind of my go-to guy. You may know him as Chiefy. Jim Mathey is his name. He's written the book on catching lobster, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Chiefy, how are you, buddy?
Oh, Greg, I'm doing great. It's beautiful. It's a Chamber of Commerce day.
Yes, well, it is most days.
As it is every day.
Yes, exactly. It's good to be you, especially when lobster season is open. So let's get right to it. The season overall has been what, in your perspective, as far as the Florida spring lobster?
This has been a good season.
Yeah.
Almost borderline great.
Borderline great, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been pretty continuous. This past year, there was a couple weeks in October that we were just out almost every day getting our limit with no difficulty. They were everywhere. They actually walked a little bit.
They walked.
Which was kind of. Yep.
I don't know what happened here, Chiefy, because I thought I had you. I had a couple of our South Florida super fans. I had Captain Cocktail down there at South Florida Diving Headquarters. These were all supposed to be my lobster moles for South Florida, and not one of them reached out and told me there was some lobster walking going on in October.
So, yeah, it was pretty good. We had actually, you know, you could almost count on them when we have a little bit of a tropical storm come through.
Yeah.
But we didn't have, you know, luckily for us, we did not have one. this year. However, we had sort of our first little cool front that came through, and it was just a change in the atmosphere, I guess.
Just enough to stir them up. Okay, hold on, Chiefy, because we got to find out more about what's going on with these lobsters. I don't know. They're walking, they're dancing, they're doing the conga something. And we're going to get the bottom of it, and at least we have a chance to catch a few more here by the end of the month. It's all coming up next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
So what's this big news then?
We've been given our parts in the nativity play. And I'm the lobster.
The lobster?
Yeah.
In the nativity play?
Yeah, first lobster.
There was more than one lobster present at the birth of Jesus.
Duh.
Way down under the ocean, where lobsters live and die. You'll see that lobster travel in a hip-hop conga line. So join the celebration and jump in behind your friends. Today we're all crustaceans and we're gonna party to the end. So come on now, do you wanna come and do the lobster conga? Dance to the beat of the bomba and we'll have a lot of fun together.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I don't know, is it a lobster walk or a lobster conga like they're describing in this song there, Chiefy? I mean,
well,
is that...
You know, they almost describe it as sort of a march where they get in formation one behind the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty impressive sight to see. I've seen up to sort of, I guess, about 80, I guess, at once.
That's, 80 in a conga line walking underwater. Now, I got the opportunity to see one of these things. I'd say it's about 5-6 years ago. And I got noticed that they were doing a lobster walk, and sure enough, we were in like 10 feet of water.
That's it, yeah.
And they weren't walking, per se, in a line when I saw them as much, but they were gathered up in like a bundle of, like
huddled
a round.
Up, right.
Yeah, yeah, and I was like, whoa, I'll take this one, I'll take that one, I'll take,
easy pickings.
Yes.
Easy pickings.
Yeah, it's like a lobster catcher's dream, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and they almost have sort of a trance-like where they're not really in their normal defensive mode.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it, but it's pretty simple, pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
although you should read my book, Catching the Bug. You know, I mean, it goes into that. I actually have one of the chapters called "That's Not a Pipe, That's a Line of Lobster." You know, and
nice. Well,
and
anything
we talk about it?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, just let's give it a plug right now. They can go to where and get this on your website or what?
My website is easy, which is Chiefy, chiefy.net.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm also on Amazon.com.
Well, there
so
you go.
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
So go score those books.
Sure. Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It'll turn
bug
you
book.
Into a lobster slayer like me.
Yeah. I got you. But yeah, this was a good year. And I'm bordered on great because not only did we have the 2-week period in October that really was good, it's been consistently good. I almost every time I go out, which is a couple times a week, you know, when the conditions are right, and the conditions have actually been very good.
Yeah.
Our water temp has not been bad. It's actually warming back up again, 74, 75. It was maybe a chilly 72.
Yeah.
Well,
when it's colder water like that, and I say cold in the sense of a Florida warm water wuss like myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Now, are the lobsters a little bit more subdued in the colder water like they would be out on the left coast for the spiny lobster?
No, they're just as
alert. They probably dig it even more.
Huh? Yeah. And they actually, sometimes they're harder to find. I think the colder water, they go a little deeper or go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically when it gets too cold, they're not around. I don't know where they go, but they're not around.
Okay.
So we've not had that problem, and it's been pretty consistent. So I can almost guarantee that we go out and we get a limit, you know, 6 per person per day.
Right.
And you know, with not too much difficulty, you don't have to work too hard. It's been a good year that way.
Now, what do you think is going on in that sense? You think it was just been a good year, or you know, conservation efforts as far as the limits and that kind of thing, and how they're managing the the species in the lobsters and that kind of thing? You think that's starting to pay off?
I think Florida's done a great job of managing this species. They really have the folks down in the Keys, down in Marathon. The state does have some folks, some scientists that are deeply involved in it. And from the recreational side, we maybe get about 20 to 25%. That's really all we are accounted for.
Right.
The commercial guys, that's kind of picked up a little bit. They actually are up to about 75, almost 80%. And they actually manage the fishery through the commercial guys. That's where they can get reliable data, and permits and things like that, and the traps that go out.
Yeah.
So I think although what we're seeing is a market that has improved due to the Chinese. That happened last year. They were up to, I heard somewhere up to $14 a pound whole, and you had to keep them alive. And then they would ship them to China. So, it's been good if you're a commercial lobster guy, which is good. You know, you want them guys to succeed.
Right.
But the fishery's been pretty good. There's been enough out here. And I think, I don't know, it was maybe 2 years ago, I couldn't buy a lobster. You know, it was bad. You know, not good at all. And then last year, I saw an improvement. This year is pretty good. And maybe next year won't be as good. So you just never know.
It's anecdotal type of stuff other than the research they're doing. They're trying to find out where the lobster spawn and trying to, get it so the spawn's not being, decimated before it gets to the Florida reefs and things. It's all connected with all different kinds of currents. It's pretty involved what they're doing as far as research, which is interesting to study up on if you like to do that kind of thing. But you never know. Hopefully it is working. The management's helping and keeping our fishery viable for both the commercial lobstermen and folks like us who just want to go out there and play a little bit.
I mean, let's face it. There's not too many places around the world that you can throw on a dive tank, or you can go free diving and come in right off our beautiful beaches, because we have beautiful beaches down here in Southeast Florida.
Yeah.
I'm in Deerfield Beach, but I mean, Lauderdale by the Sea, Pompano, Boca, all the way up the coast. We just have beautiful beaches. You can swim right off and you can catch lobster.
It's just a great experience.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It's one of the best things you can do as a diver. And, it's not as, intense, I don't believe, as spearfishing in the sense that if you're not into that. But, man, lobstering, it's easy to get caught up in it and just having fun with it. And, man, are they so tasty. Oh, my God.
They are. I have to admit. Yes.
But I have a theory I wanted to bounce off of you, because you do get out there and do this a lot more than I do. But I've always wondered, at the beginning of lobster season, we have a tendency to see a lot of lobsters with eggs because they're finishing up their spawning process, and you don't take the females with eggs or females at all if you can avoid it, if you're that, so inclined. But I've wondered that at the end of the year, the one thing is, they get kind of weeded out and it's hard to catch them as the season progresses. It's good to hear they've been fairly consistent. But are they bigger at the end of the season? I mean, they had an opportunity to grow longer, so the chances of seeing lobster that are on the bigger size scale, does that go up as the season progresses in your eyes, or not necessarily? We just keep getting an influx throughout the season.
The good news is this year particularly, we've gotten some big boys. I mean, there have been some nice size ones where no doubt, the law requires you to have a measuring device and measure them underwater, which is the 3-inch of the carapace, which is the hard shell. But, what we've found is that this year, there were some big boys out there.
Yeah.
And you knew when the big boys were here, it was good. I think the little guys kind of follow the big boys. Hmm. Now, bear in mind, I think that scientists tell us to reach that 3-inch, minimum size, they got to be about 2.5 years.
Okay.
So, what happens down in the Keys? I think somewhere like 90% of all the lobster are caught in the Keys, which is pretty good. But you got to remember that's a big commercial fishery down there,
right?
But as the lobster head north, and it's funny, I talk to guys all the way on up to Jacksonville. When they get up there, them lobster, they're big.
Yeah.
They're huge.
That's what you hear about these stories of 11 pound, 14 pound. That's crazy. These are monsters. It's like, well, hey, who's catching who? Is, you know.
And that's exactly it. Yeah. The biggest lobster I've ever seen, we caught him down in the Dry Tortugas. He was 12 and a half pounds.
Wow.
And literally, he caught the diver. I mean, it was huge. The one I caught here in Fort Lauderdale, in about 100 feet of water, was 9.5 pounds. That was a big boy.
Yeah.
Again, same thing. They look prehistoric almost, and they're huge, and they're usually the big male. They got the big head, and they're walking out like, all right, come on,
I dare you, grab me, take your looper, I'll tell you where to stick your looper. I have these dreams of lobster walks and taking on a big monster lobster like that. Matter of fact, I believe I heard a story when we were down there for Bugfest in Lauderdale by the Sea, where at many seasons somebody did catch a big one right there off the commercial pier.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
A 10 plus pounder. I'm like, what? It's like
nice.
Crazy.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, Chiefy, one more time. The website's chiefy.net.
Chiefy.net, chiefy.net, or it's on amazon.com. Easy to get to.
There you go. Read that, and you'll be up to snuff on how to catch your Florida spiny lobsters. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Come on, get down, get on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, get on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, get on down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're going to finish off today's two-hour radio spectacular with one of my favorite folks from the dive industry. And, of course, I'm talking about my left coast friend from Santa Barbara, California, Bob Evans from the Force Fin organization. Bob, how are you, buddy?
Hey, great, Greg. Thanks for calling. It's it's raining out here in Santa Barbara. Finally, we're getting a few drizzles. You know, we've had that drought going on for months, but I don't think it's going to be enough to make a difference.
Yeah, well, it's not supposed to rain in California or something like that.
No, normally it doesn't. Speaking of getting wet.
Of course.
It's wet.
Just trying to land the groundwork, creating the atmosphere that we need for today's Scuba Radio show, of course. So, well, have you been?
Yeah, we like that wet thing. And I had lunch the other day with our good friend Jean-Michel Cousteau and Dan Marr showed up on their store on State Street and said, come, let's go have lunch. And, of course, with the French, it's always a two-hour lunch. So we went and had a chance to talk as Jean-Michel and his Celine and Fabian just were given the Attenborough Award for the International Film Festival here just about a month ago. And, Greg, you couldn't believe it. We had VIP seating,
nice.
And we were right up front of Arlington, but by the time we got in, we did the red carpet behind the Cousteau group. By the time we got in, all the VIP seats were filled up, and the whole auditorium, some 2,000 people seats were taken up. They were showing their 3D film, and I went, oh, shoot, where are we going to sit down? And so they ushered us around to the other side, and I sat down right next to Dr. Phil Newton, Mr. Sub himself, and Fabian Cousteau and his sister was sitting right in front of me, Celine, and the dad was sitting right back behind, and Suzanne was sitting with Jean-Michel and Nan. And I looked over at Fabian, I looked at Dr. Phil Newton, and I said, God, pinch me, you know? How in a million years would I be sitting next to two of my heroes? It was really a great evening. But speaking of getting wet.
Well, wait, before you move on from that.
I'm actually getting wet right now while we're talking. And, you know, Jean-Michel says, when's the last time you... Oh, that might be the Pope calling us. Remember we want to get the Pope go diving with
us? Yes, yes, yes. I know you're working on that.
That could be the Vatican. That could be the Vatican. But I'll just let him leave a message.
Yeah, you're talking to someone way more important right now, evidently.
Well, Scuba Radio, the Pope can wait. He can wait. I know he wants to go diving with us. I've got that message out to his boss, and hopefully our prayers will be answered. I definitely think it could be a possibility. I haven't had a chance to tell you. I've been kind of putting some irons in the fire to get the Pope to go diving with us so he can see the underwater world, which he cares so much about. So Jean-Michel says to me, he says, well, Bob, when's the last time you got wet?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't really remember. I think it's been 2 years. He dropped his fork. He looked at me like, what has happened?
Yeah.
I don't know, but we're definitely going to get on a Scuba Radio trip. We're in the midst of shifting Force Fin Productions operations back to our plant in Pennsylvania. And I have to be up and running by May because I have a very large order for the U.S. Coast Guard, 300 pairs.
Wow.
And, yeah, and, you know, even though I would like to get off the stage when it comes to our servicemen, I had someone shake my hand the other day, one of the head guys in our government, thanking me for not going to China, Greg. It was unbelievable. I've never, you know, because I've always been U.S.-made company.
Yeah.
And never went to China like all my competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And I warned everybody. I said, you go over there and you show them how to do and what and where. And when the time comes, they're going to give you the big boot.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's starting to happen. And I predicted that almost 20 years ago, that everybody trying to get the cheap labor. And you know, we got good labor here in America. We need to take care of our own. So that's kind of what's going on. But you can tell I'm a little off kilter because I haven't been diving. And I think Jean-Michel picked up on that. Like,
well, did he say, hey, Bob, let's go dive? Let's say, because he knows people, these Cousteaus. They know people that can make that happen pretty easily, I'm guessing, out there where you're at, right?
Oh, I'm sure he'd get the Pope. I really never got around to that. But we can hope for the Pope.
But this movie you saw at the film festival, it's a new Cousteau production that's in 3D for IMAX or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Unbelievable. They have this new camera, Greg, that's able to show things that no one's ever been able to. I couldn't quite understand. Jean-Michel said this lens goes to this lens and that down, this and that. And I was like going, okay, I kind of got it. But we all wore 3D goggles during the show, and it was really cool to see, like, sharks swimming around, you know, in 3D. And
well, that's kind of like diving. So you did a virtual dive, it sounds like, thanks to your Cousteau friends. You think?
Yeah. No, he's off for the next month, just, you know, traveling and lecturing, and it's always so great to have the time. And we've been friends since I was 18 years old, and so it's always something special when he grabs us out of our daily routine and says, "Hey, let's go have a lunch together."
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. We're hanging with Jean-Michel. He's quite a character in his own right. But who wouldn't want to have lunch with Bob Evans? Come on, let's be real. That's a treat in itself, Bob. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Especially if I pick up the tab.
Well, you don't have to do that. But I'll definitely look forward to our next face-to-face meeting as well. ForceFins.com.
Hey, he loves Scuba Radio.
Yes, he is awesome. That'll end it for today's big show. Till next time, remember, it's always better where, Bob?
Down where it's wetter, Greg.
All right. Safe diving, everybody.
Hey, love you, everyone. Bye.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.